Blog Talk Radio.
Now, PW Torch brings you the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show. It's time to talk this week's WWE Monday Night Raw.
So, Tom, we have Bobby Lashley beating Braun Strowman definitively in the main event tonight on Raw. We've got he's on track to face The Miz next week for the WWE Championship. A lot of stuff at play here, and I'm sure we'll get into all of it. But what did you think of Bobby Lashley tonight? I thought he had a really good night overall. Good promos, a really kind of intense, hard-hitting, fun match against Braun Strowman in the main event. A definitive victory. Like, you know, one of the more definitive victories we've seen over Braun Strowman. So your thoughts on Bobby Lashley tonight?
Yeah, indeed. A lot of pieces at play. But the number one item, I agree, is wow, what a night for Bobby Lashley. I think of all the things that I could start off with, I think the main thing that stands out to me is that it seems like for the guy who just last night attacked the top babyface champion and helped The Miz cash in, he seems like he is now definitively a babyface. And I would hope that that's not just a circumstantial thing because he's being positioned as the person who can save us from a Miz title run. You know, Lashley and the Hurt Business have been cool for a long time, but everything about what they did tonight was probably, I mean, I know he was a representative in the Battle of the Billionaires. I know he had a lot of really good stuff in TNA versus Drew McIntyre that I missed a lot of personally. But this just one night felt like the most effective presentation of Bobby Lashley that we've seen in a long time. I went into it thinking, man, you know, as I've said multiple times before, this is right now, this time period is the most I've ever liked Bobby Lashley as a fan. And this one night, I feel, brought me as a fan to that next level of really wanting to see what he does on the show and feeling like what he does on the show is extremely important.
Yeah, I agree. It was a really good night for him, and he did feel important from the moment he came out. And I thought his first promo was short and sweet. I really liked just the tone and the cadence, getting in Miz's face. He wasn't, you know, there was no part of him that was buying what Miz was saying. I thought like the grabbing of the tie was a nice touch that Lashley was able to pull off. And then the second promo I thought was equally as good, you know, just calling Miz out in the ring with Strowman there too. So talk a little bit about his promo work tonight. I think, you know, we've seen Lashley through his run since he came back to WWE to be put in, you know, some bad circumstances, like on the microphone. And I'm not talking just the Lana stuff, but even, you know, when he came back first as a, you know, and was a babyface character, it didn't seem like he was in his comfort zone out there. But man, I think they found a sweet spot. I've thought that for a while, him opposite MVP and kind of leading the Hurt Business. And boy, this is kind of a cherry on top of all that tonight, as far as the promo work goes.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head with short and sweet. You know, Bobby Lashley does not need to be compared to Brock Lesnar any more than he already has been. But this is that formula. Brock only speaks when he really has something to say, and he tends to keep it short. And since he does that, when he does take the mic, it feels significant. And it's usually pretty good because he chooses his words carefully. And that's what Bobby did tonight. And yeah, they're not the greatest couple of sentences of a promo that we've ever heard, but for what they were, with MVP carrying the bulk of that portion of the act, it definitely cut to the point in an effective way.
Yeah, I thought the match was really good tonight too, against Strowman. I thought it was an exciting match. I thought it was hard hitting. I thought really, because they had so many balls in the air in terms of how they could go about booking this thing, I thought it lent itself to some drama too. And you had Lashley kind of owning the early part of the match and then Strowman making his comeback, I went on the roller coaster of, oh, wow, Lashley's going to win this. Oh, wait a minute. Nope. Strowman's back on track. You get the kick out of the big power slam, which we haven't seen. And I'm glad the announcers sold it as much as they did, to make it not a first, but, put Lashley on a list of short people or like a short list of folks who have actually kicked out of that move. So I liked the match a lot, and I thought it painted, if you weren't sure, hey, is WWE going with Bobby Lashley here? I mean, after that match, I mean, it's hard to argue otherwise.
Yes, absolutely. I think this was, like we said, so many pieces in play. Like you said, so many ways that this particular match could have gone. In the back of my mind, we're thinking, well, conspicuous by his absence is Drew McIntyre. Is he going to show up here, or is he going to wait to pick a spot next week? You've got The Miz right there, and it seems like The Miz probably would prefer for Braun to win the match so he can go into a triple threat and try to steal pinfall attempts from the big guys just ramming into one another. So what we get instead is, yes, indeed, a fun little Haas fight, which I did not – I don't generally expect fun when it comes to Braun Strowman matches anymore, and that is what this is. And the cherry on top of not even the cherry on top yet. It was the very, very pleasant surprise of giving. And this was that power slam kick out is what I'm talking about. And that was the moment where I've been, I look down my notes and it's this progression of like, are they really going with Bobby Lashley as a definitive babyface here? It kind of feels that way. And at that moment, I was like, nope, he's a babyface now. And then what really was the cherry on the on top was. Of Braun doing these favors here was the Hurt Lock locked onto Braun at the very end. So they are now selling next week on the certainty that Bobby Lashley is going to win the WWE Championship. It's I'm definitely very pleasantly surprised by how that match in and of itself turned out with fewer shenanigans than predicted.
Yeah, right. Hey, good point. Very good point. So let's peel the onion on that before we get to some calls here in a minute. So you're pretty definitive. Bobby Lashley's a babyface. I think that's certainly on the table. I'm less fully convinced than you, although I don't have a ton to stand on as far as what was presented tonight. But let's break this thing down. You've got The Miz as your WWE champion. You've got Braun Strowman, a heel, hovering around the title scene. Going into tonight, after last night's attack on Drew McIntyre, you've got Bobby Lashley as a heel. And all three of those guys competing against each other for the opportunity at Miz's championship in one form or another. I can see your argument of, hey, tonight it's, he's opposite Miz, and he beats Braun Strowman cleanly. He's got the full Nelson lock in at the end of the show. He's got holding the title up. Miz is a heel, and okay, Bobby Lashley's babyface. But how do you rectify the situation from last night, which is and the road that they're presumably going down, which is Bobby Lashley versus Drew McIntyre? Like, I'm not sure they can pull that off, babyface, but I think they could probably pull it off, babyface heel if you keep Lashley. So, does it bother you that we saw a lot of heel on heel stuff tonight? And what do you make of if Lashley is in fact a babyface as you outlined? How does that affect him versus Drew McIntyre going forward?
Until that power slam kick out, I was trying to convince myself that I was not bothered by all of the heels going up against one another, just because it's the same thing that I've been trying to convince myself all along with the Hurt Business, that they're just so cool that I accept them as baby faces anyway. I'm trying to force myself not to get into this whole, like, through the looking glass of heel versus face, situation. I get myself stuck in that jar way too many times on these podcasts, but that's the situation I was in again tonight. And admittedly, there is a major part of the way I'm thinking here that is a bit pipe dreamy, because I kind of feel like you can have your cake and eat it too if you go ahead with a Bobby Lashley championship reign and find someone off the top of my head, I'm not sure whom, to wrestle him at WrestleMania and give him a good title run. Because if we're going right back to McIntyre, with as good as Bobby Lashley is right now, I don't like just having him lose the title again right away, even if it does get him a WrestleMania main event. And Drew is already in this Sheamus feud, which, I mean, I guess they paid a little bit of lip service to it tonight. It's hard to, if there was one thing I was looking for from tonight's show, it was a promo from Sheamus that diverted the his feud with McIntyre over to a personal feud more than just a title feud, because the title was the reason that he turned on his personal friend. And that would have been the excuse for McIntyre to take his eye off of the title for a while, because this personal feud would have become more important for him. And I believe that there, if you know, with a good enough story, you could build that to be a major match at WrestleMania without the title involved. And we can still get the climb from Drew McIntyre and the reception we've been waiting for from a live audience that shouldn't be there, but you know, they're going to be there. So that's what they're what they're going for, is that first real live reaction to this top guy, Drew McIntyre, that we've had for a year now. So those are the pieces that I'm looking at. And if I was booking it ideally for myself, I would not put McIntyre immediately back in the title picture, because you want to give that guy wins. But I feel like Lashley is at a point where you want to keep giving him wins and not just be the guy for McIntyre to go over at Mania.
Well argued. I mean, they got a lot of balls in the air around the WWE Championship right now, to say the least. It's going to be fun and or frustrating to watch them try to book their way into wherever they're going for Fastlane, I suppose, but also, you know, the bigger picture at WrestleMania. I see 100% where you're coming from on the babyface thing, because it's like, well, tonight Bobby Lashley took down two heels, but you know, the angle from last night sticks out in my head. It's hard for me to forget what happened. And I just wonder if this is Vince McMahon and WWE booking going, we just need to get to this Lashley match. We needed to get the Money in the Bank off of Miz. And you know what, for 1 or 2 weeks, people won't remember that it's heel versus heel, and we can still get to that McIntyre match. That's kind of where my head's at right now, unfortunately. And I wonder, you know, if Lashley picks up some momentum here, if they're going to change course at all. But it still feels like we're on track to seeing Drew McIntyre versus Lashley in my eyes. But, I mean, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. And they've, you know, luckily they've got some time to do this, and let's just hope they've got a good plan in place. Cause I think this is a really good night for Lashley. And you don't want that to go wasted.
Yeah, it really was. And I do worry that it is just circumstantial. The other element of this being, and I'm not sure exactly how important this is. I mean, it could be anywhere from extremely important to a non-factor. Well, probably not entirely a non-factor, but the fact that The Miz is somewhat of a crossover star. I don't want to call him like a big star outside of WWE, but he's somewhat of a crossover star with multiple other TV shows, and he's feuding with Bad Bunny, the actual international star that is showing up on this show. When Bad Bunny was on the show tonight, he wasn't interacting with Miz, but that was something that they definitely paid lip service to, like, oh, this guy's still associated with The Miz in some way. So I wonder if with the transition to Peacock, they want that gaudy WWE logo over Miz's shoulder, and selling next week on a certain title change that Bobby Lashley is definitely going to beat The Miz, and then having The Miz snake out of it one more time is a way of putting extra heat on The Miz going into Fastlane, just to try to assuage this transition over to Peacock and try to maximize it in the way that the suits in corporate might think is the way to do it.
Yeah. It's certainly on the table. That's the other thing hovering around with this whole thing too, is that everybody, I think, assumed, okay, Miz and Morrison against Bad Bunny and Damian Priest at WrestleMania. And it could very well be the path that we're on. That would be my guess. If I had to put money down, that's where I'd put it for him. But yeah, I mean, the Peacock deal, we don't know just where WWE's head's at as far as, you know, the pieces, where they need their pieces on the game board for that move. So it'll be interesting to watch, but you know, a good night overall, I think, you know, especially for that main event scene. And we'll talk about the rest of the show later. We'll let the callers lead the way here. But first, let's take a second and set the table for the show. And then we will start taking calls, 609-443-410. You are all in the queue. But this is the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Post Show, covering the February 22nd edition of WWE Monday Night Raw. I'm PW Torch Assistant Editor Zach Kadorn, filling in for Wade tonight. Wade will be on the VIP side of things a little bit later, running down the show on the Wade Keller Hotline, pwtorch.com/govip. If you're interested in Torch membership, pwtorch.com/govip for that show and a host of other really awesome VIP podcasts. The other voice you hear tonight is that of PW Torch contributor and host of the PWT Talks NXT Daily Cast show and NXT 8 years back on the VIP side of the house, Mr. Tom Stout. Tom, welcome to the show. Great to talk to you, man.
Thanks so much for giving me the nod tonight. I've actually, the last couple times Wade has emailed, I've given him rain checks, but I got that Hey Dorn message and I was like, oh, okay, I've got time for this.
Yes, I'm sure. Yes, I'll make sure to rub that in with Wade when I next time I talk to him. thank you for that ammunition. I appreciate it. Let's open up the phone lines, Tom. 347-215-8558. 347-215-8558. The caller queue is filling up here, which is good. A lot of people want to discuss a lot of, you know, some newsworthy elements on tonight's show. Make sure if you're in the queue, press 1 to let me know that you want on the air, and we'll make sure to get to everybody tonight. If you don't want to talk to us, you can send us an email, wadekellerpodcast@gmail.com. That's wadekellerpodcast@gmail.com. Tom and I will get to the mailbag segment a little bit later in the show. Tom, with that said, if you're ready to rock here, let's go ahead and take the first call.
Excellent. Let's do it.
All right. Let's start with, as I said, 609. 609, you're up first. Go ahead and state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, this is Mike from Atlantic City, New Jersey. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good, Mike. How are you? Thanks for making the call. What'd you think of Raw?
Good. I thought the in-ring action was good. I thought it was interesting. It was different. Miz is the champion. You know, I wasn't expecting that. You know, like when he cashed in last night. I like the swerve, but I'm not a huge fan of him as the champion. So I'm going to be rooting for him to lose the belt next week, you know, which I think is going to happen,
yeah.
You know, to Bobby Lashley. And, you know, with Bobby Lashley, now, I don't know. I got mixed reactions, you know. About him now. I never really took him seriously in WWE, you know, so I'm having a hard time seeing him as a main eventer and somebody that's unbeatable. But if they keep booking him the way that they are, like they did tonight, you know, I can see where, you know, it might work on me. Like I might grow more and more on Lashley if they keep booking him like this. But, you know, I just if he faces Drew at Mania and then loses, then I worry about what happens to Lashley after Mania. But at the same time, I'm going to be rooting for Drew to beat Lashley because I'm a bigger fan of Drew. I want Drew to get the belt back and have his moment with the fans and all that. And I think that's what the point of this whole match with Drew and Lashley, it's probably going to happen, is for Drew to get his moment with the fans, which he didn't have last year. But
yeah.
What do you guys think? I mean, you guys think the fans are going to cheer Drew or are they going to cheer Lashley, you know, at the Bucks Stadium at the big show?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's a good question. I mean, I think people will still cheer Drew McIntyre. And I don't think that's out of disrespect or, you know, a lack of recognizing, you know, the year that Bobby Lashley had. Because really, I mean, Drew McIntyre is certainly one of the anchors of Monday Night Raw during the pandemic era. You know, dealt a real bad hand to start his title reign, to say the least. But, you know, I think Bobby Lashley and the Hurt Business and MVP have to be in the same conversation in terms of holding down the fort during this time. I mean, they really took this gimmick where you're not really sure how high they're going to get with it. You know, I don't know that the plan was, okay, these guys are going to be potentially in line to main event WrestleMania when they're putting the group together, but they consistently from the very beginning, had good segment after good segment after good segment and built themselves up, stayed credible. Lashley was protected. And now you've got him, you know, in a position where you can do something with him on one of the biggest shows of the year. So, I mean, I think both guys need to be recognized for the work that they've done during this time. I just, Tom, you know, I think people want to still have that moment with Drew McIntyre. I think he's had a good year. We don't know, obviously, because we don't have that instantaneous reaction. But that's just the sense that I get. And I think, you know, MVP and Bobby Lashley, I think they'll kind of, you know, even if they go back to being heels after this whole deal with The Miz next week, I think they're good enough in their role to kind of circle things back and take it back around. And by the time WrestleMania comes around here in 7 weeks or whatever it is, you know, they'll be full-blown heels and ready to eat a lot of heat and, you know, set the table for Drew to go over if that's what they do. But that's my take, Tom. I mean, where are you at with that?
That's the sense I get as well. And I will, after everything that I said in the open, which is how I feel about, you know, just tonight's show in isolation, I will say that, you know, you look at Sunday night, we in the moment we're living through Sunday night, it, the most logical path forward is, you know, revealing some kind of business agreement between the Hurt Business and Miz, the Hurt Business. And then moving it into, you know, Lashley versus McIntyre. So I do agree that that is the most logical way forward, and I won't fight against that. That is the sense that I get, that more than anything, getting McIntyre in front of a crowd for the Raw side of things is the most important goal for WWE at WrestleMania. To have that pent up reaction, that feeling of thanks, and putting him back on the chase. I think it may seem sudden and it may seem like, well, why not just keep on giving this guy a long run? But cheering him at WrestleMania as the incoming champion who retains it might be good enough, but it's also not a change. It's not a reclamation. And I feel like as the putting him back on the chase to win the title back is the way to maximize that reaction, to take something that will probably already be there in a really warm, like, thank you for holding things down over the past year, Drew McIntyre kind of way, and really turn it into a genuine in the moment, like, we're really happy we were here, not just for the token of this being McIntyre's first match of this run in front of, you know, actual, you know, live fans, but actually this particular match in this moment when he won the title back. So I think that's really what they're trying to achieve here.
Yeah. Yep. I agree. And Mike, I want to take another one of your topics, and that's the topic of The Miz.
Sure.
You know, we analyze everything around what's happening with Bobby Lashley tonight, and we have to analyze it from the perspective of, okay, Miz is the WWE champion. I, you know, on one hand, when you take a look at that, you're like, all right, WWE might unnecessarily be playing with fire here by putting Bobby Lashley against The Miz, because you might just get him, like Tom, like you said at the top of the show, you might just put him in a position because he's opposite Miz and trying to take the WWE title away from Miz next week where he does get cheered. And I don't know that that was, you know, a necessity. You know, I think there's a different way you could have gone about getting the WWE title on Bobby Lashley that was maybe even more heelish in nature to set him up for Drew McIntyre. It's not what happened. So I don't know how long we want to spend talking about what ifs, but it certainly wasn't like, okay, the belt has to go to Miz and then to Lashley. They had some other options there.
Mm-hmm.
That said, what'd you think of The Miz tonight? Because I thought, you know, all things considered, a bit of a curveball last night for sure, but I thought he came out and cut, you know, a quote unquote good Miz promo, right? I mean, he kind of left the comedy on the side. He kind of was a little bit took command of the microphone and command of the promo. I thought that worked for framing him as about as credible as you can get him at this point, given all that he's been through in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years. What did you think of the promo to kick off the show tonight?
To me, yeah, I agree with you. It was a good Miz promo, but at this point, I mean, I'm not trying to diss The Miz, and I'm not entirely down on this being the circumstance we're in. But the time to put the title on The Miz was a handful of years ago, when he was heating back up again and felt like he still had a good title run left in him. Now he's been defined down further than he has been in a long, long time, perhaps ever since being the host of the Diva Search. You know, and it, part of me is it, I'm not even going to go as far as to say that that adds more heat to the cash in, because he's just The Miz. All due respect. And I am one of those people that has, and maybe that's the majority now, but who has come to respect what The Miz brings to the table. But it, he can cut these promos all day long, but it's very been there, done that with him. And I feel that the title going to Lashley, it would have been better to have this business agreement between Miz and the Hurt Business be something where they, and I know we've had a weird cycle with Money in the Bank. It's flipped between holders and had the goofy lawsuit, and just the match itself was goofy to begin with. It's been a bad Money in the Bank cycle, but I feel the best way they could have done it was just figure out some way where Miz gets something out of actually giving the Money in the Bank to Bobby Lashley somehow. They could, if they wanted to figure that out, they could have figured it out and excused it in some way where Miz is cashing in on Lashley's behalf or something along those lines.
I agree. They had some options there, and I think you hit the nail on the head. Miz is Miz, and you know, I think he's going to do some big business at WrestleMania with Bad Bunny, but that's kind of his role, and I think he does that well. But I don't know if you can sell him as a top champion heading into WrestleMania. Mike, anything on what we said, or any other comments or questions about the show tonight?
I want to touch on the Randy Orton segment, you know, which I think was really bizarre there. That was quite different.
Say the least, I think.
Expecting. Yeah, throwing up Black Voodoo, I guess it was. I mean, I mentioned last week, you know, I am a fan of this stuff. Like, I am a fan of this angle. I think it's bizarre and it's different. And I think, you know, bizarre, different angles in wrestling are good to have here and there, you know, as long as they make sense. And I think this angle makes sense. I think the storytelling is good. I think it makes perfect sense. You know, the Fiend was burnt alive, you know, and Bliss wants to get revenge. So she's been throwing fireballs at Orton, and Orton's mad at Bliss. You know, the Fiend wants to get at Orton. I think, you know, everything makes sense. I think the storytelling is really good. You know, I know the magic stuff's not for everybody, but, you know, I mean, there are a lot of fans that do like it, though, you know, believe it or not, you know, because I think the magic stuff fits these types of characters. So it's okay to do that, you know, with people like the Fiend and Bliss, the Undertaker. So, like, I'm okay with this magic kind of stuff here and there in wrestling. What's your guys' take on, this angle?
Tom, your thoughts just on tonight in particular, and then, you know, maybe a broader assessment of everything going on with Orton, Fiend, and Bliss. But what do you think about that specifically, the coughing up of the black stuff, I guess?
Sure. And I'm glad you brought it up. I liked what you said on last week's show about it. This one segment was another example of Randy Orton giving a good performance in an angle that you sort of wonder from segment to segment if this angle really deserves the best out of Randy Orton, and he's really given it his best. You know, this was definitely not my favorite instance of the hocus pocus. That's been very hit and miss, you know, over the course of this. But I agree with you that I tend to like this. Of course, there are so many bad examples of it. You know, Undertaker rising to heaven, the ghostly apparition of Bray Wyatt in the that cage match between Ambrose and Rollins, I think it was. Like, there are some really bad examples of it. But I do enjoy I can very much enjoy wrestling going to this place because it's part of the reason why I choose to watch wrestling more than I, you know, significantly more than I watch any other sport that's, the, you know, a shoot sport, because this sort of thing can happen in wrestling. It can be more sensationalized and dramatic. I don't just have to hope that a game can become dramatic. I know that the creators of the show are trying to make it dramatic and trying to tie me in, and this is one of the ways that they can do that. And of course, some listeners might remember that I myself have been a pretty vehement defender of this particular angle, but since the last time that I was on and defending it, they have made the misstep of crossing it over with other things that are going on and having Orton involve himself with Drew McIntyre and Triple H, who I know was just a sub in for Drew McIntyre that one week, but other instances where for a while now, almost every single Orton match has been interrupted in some way by Alexa Bliss. And I feel like I appreciate this stuff when it can be segmented off. It can get even way goofier than this. I, you know, maybe this is not the kind of thing I should remind people of, but I even didn't mind the Viking Raiders versus the Street Profits at Extreme Rules. And that was one of the silliest things we've ever seen in WWE because it was isolated to its own segment. It didn't affect anything else. It abided by its own logic. And then it was done. And it was, and, you know, it was just fine. And even if you didn't like it, it's just sort of like, okay, well, whatever. It didn't affect anything else. So everything else is still status quo. But even if Alexa Bliss interfering, you know, in the various ways that she has, you know, whether she's physically present or not, isn't affecting Drew McIntyre per se, Drew is still getting a win because of Alexa's hocus pocus interference. Triple H is still disappearing into thin air after working a one night program with Randy Orton and then never showing up again. So thing that starts to poke holes in this, all that said, we know that Bray is going to come back at some point. I mean, most of us thought Royal Rumble. And then when that didn't happen, most of us thought Elimination Chamber, and then that didn't happen. So whenever Bray is actually going to come back, I believe enough in Bray as a performer. This spans his whole run as the character, as Kelly Wells and I are covering in NXT 8 years back. We, the one that's the most recent one in the archives right now is talking about his second ever singles match, in NXT. And he is that strong of a performer right out of the gate. I believe that once he comes back, just his presence will rescue any of this that I've been worried about because he's that good.
It's a well crafted point, and I think it plays. You know, I think really like you can assess, you know, this angle from that point of view, and that hey, I like this stuff. You're either all in with it, or like you, Tom, like hey, you know, I'm good with it, but it still has to live like kind of independent of everything else. I just don't really need this stuff within my wrestling, generally speaking. I mean, that's kind of where I fall on it. It's not that I don't think it's logical story. I think it is. And tonight was a little strange. I know you had the announcers kind of follow up on it. I don't know what the end game is with that. Like, is it, did Alexa Bliss poison Randy Orton? Is it Fiend? I mean, is it some kind of weird thing that's in Orton's head? I mean, we'll have to see how this plays out. So of all the kind of the hocus pocus moments, as you guys were appropriately calling him, I really was just kind of like, huh? Like when it came to this, because like there was no follow. We didn't hear from Alexa Bliss, you know? So we'll have to see where that goes. I'm willing to, you know, wait till next week on that. But you know, at this point, this program is, I mean, it is what it is. It's going to live in this space. It's going to be for some people and it's not going to be for others. I hope that they can just keep, you know, try to keep those worlds separately, you know, separate, excuse me. You know, I think if they can do that, I think they'll be in a better place when they get to the payoff, which is, I would imagine, WrestleMania at this point. We'll have to see. It's hard to kind of fathom what kind of match they have given all that's happened between these guys. But yeah, I mean, I'd like to see hopefully the Black Tar is explained next week, and it'll be kind of fun to see where they take it. But yeah, kind of a random road that they took tonight. That's how I'd frame it, Mike. Back to you.
Yeah, you got to think like Bray. I assume you know probably has a lot of creative control this angle. I would think. So if he has control over the payoff, I would think the payoff is going to be really good. You know, but I mean, to a point though, I mean, he probably has control, but Vince probably has the final say, you know, on how the angle is actually going to close and who's going to go over in the feud and all that. So, and that's,
yeah, I mean,
you know,
I,
when I worry,
I'd say that he has input, Mike, you know, I don't know that he's controlling everything that's going on, but I'm certain that he's got a substantial amount of impact, input into what they're doing.
Right, right. And I'm sure Bray has a lot, you know, to do with, you know, this angle and is coming up with a lot of the things that are going to be in this angle and all that. And do you think Orton's a fan of this angle? Like some wrestlers, you know, they're not a fan of doing these kind of things. Like I don't picture someone like Daniel Bryan or Sasha Banks wanting to be part of an angle like this. I think they would think it's too silly and they're just about, you know, winning championships and all that. And I respect that, you know, so that's why I say it's not for everybody, but I wonder if Orton's into this, you know, or if he's just going along with it.
I think he's into it, Tom. I mean, I think he looks like he's committed, and I think, you know, and I'm just totally projecting, you know, my opinion here, but I also think Orton's the kind of guy that goes, man, I can do this big WrestleMania match and along the way just kind of do backstage stuff and not have to take a lot of bumps and not have to take a lot of punishment. Like, absolutely, I am in on that. So I think he's in on this. I think he's, you know, committed.
Yeah, it's a very interesting question because it does not seem to line up with his character and the attitude we know Orton generally has. But when you look at the actual nuts and bolts of it like that, yeah, I agree. And I also agree with Mike that that Bray seems to have a lot of influence, a lot more influence on the creative than most wrestlers do. And there are ebbs and flows in that. Like when you go back and look at the first four Firefly Funhouses before, I believe it was four, maybe it was the fourth one when the Fiend was revealed, but those early Firefly Funhouses that were clearly all filmed at the same time rather than week to week, actually done live on Raw or pre-taped the same day. And there is so much more creativity in them. And this, like this cryptic doublespeak that Bray always has that usually doesn't go anywhere, it's starting to actually amount to something. And in those instances, you can see that Bray's influence is shining through a bit more. So I think that Orton does look at a guy like that, who's, you know, he really is at that top level in current day WWE. And he's like, heck yeah, I want to work with a guy like that. And he also, and this is, again, playing upon suspicions I have and personal inclinations I might have, such as, you know, drawing Drew and Sheamus out to a non-title Mania match, influencing how I feel about Bobby Lashley here. I also think that while it's wild they've been able to stretch this out to a WrestleMania feud, I think that if you are going to do another long-term top guy like Randy Orton against The Fiend at WrestleMania, do another Firefly Funhouse cinematic match. I don't care how many people are in Raymond James Stadium. It was a hit last year with a lot of people, especially people who are already predisposed to liking The Fiend character. So just do that again. And Randy Orton sees John Cena do it last year and thinks, that looks like a hoot. It's probably not the exact word he would use. I'm in. I definitely want to do that and see what wacky stuff Wyndham Rotunda comes up with for me to do.
Yep, I agree. Mike, anything else for us tonight?
Yeah, I want to throw back to the Drew thing real quick, because I want to touch on Sheamus real fast. Is Sheamus, like, out of the title picture now, you think? Because they were saying Drew versus Sheamus for Fastlane, and friends, you know, he really wants that match. And I told him that's not happening now, obviously. He's against his Drew-Lashley feud completely. So you think Sheamus is going to get back into it, or is he done with all this now? How do you think it is going forward with Sheamus?
Yeah, I think Sheamus versus Drew is still a match. I kind of think you can pencil that in maybe you do it at Fastlane, because, you know, if Bobby Lashley wins the title next week, you have to have a match where Drew can kind of get his shot at WrestleMania. So I wonder if they pay off Drew McIntyre versus Sheamus with that in mind, you know, pay it off at Fastlane, pay off that feud. You have the match, except it's not for the WWE title. It's for, you know, a number one contender. It's a number one contender match, and who winner faces Bobby Lashley at WrestleMania. I also think, you know, it could be just a situation where, you know, they are truly trying to tell a long-term story here. And, you know, maybe it's some sort of multi-man match at Fastlane to get the shot at Lashley at Mania. And then Sheamus is a ready-made opponent for Drew McIntyre after Drew's win at Mania. So I don't think they're abandoning it. I don't know. I don't think that's going to be the match at WrestleMania, obviously, at this point. But I think there's enough seeds there and enough to explore within that feud that they still can milk it, I think, for one or maybe even two more matches, Tom.
Yeah, the Sheamus stuff was weird tonight. There was a lot of stuff tonight that felt time filly. It wasn't overtly bad and why is this on my TV, but there was a lot of stuff that just felt time filly. The Sheamus thing, at least they grounded it in telling the story of how frustrated Sheamus is. I don't think commentary really went over the top in trying to tie that to McIntyre, but for as rare as this is in contemporary WWE, it does seem like the specifics of the beats around the top title that we're seeing is, you know, in these weeks is planned out enough that I trust that they do something like have Sheamus pin Drew McIntyre in the gauntlet match and then have AJ Styles pin Sheamus without McIntyre involved in the decision in the Elimination Chamber to make sure that Sheamus still has that issue with Drew and, you know, keeping myself grounded to reality here rather than looking at what I was looking for tonight in my fantasy world of hoping Sheamus was going to cut a promo that diverted his feud with Drew over to a personal feud that wasn't around the title. It does seem like, yes, logically, the two of them will have a blow off at Fastlane, and making it a number one contender match keeps it as a title feud. Drew reinserts himself next week, say, and then Sheamus says, like, hey, not so fast there, fella. Remember the guy who pinned you just a couple weeks ago? One of only, I think, two people to do that over the, well, and The Miz now, I guess. Three people to do that over the past year. You know, I have just as much of a say, or in WWE logic, he feels like he has just as much of a say to that title shot as Drew does. So that seems like the most logical direction.
Yeah, I can hear that. I can hear that promo now. I can hear it now. Mike, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. Great topic to get us started tonight.
Yeah, appreciate it, guys. Thanks for the call, and you guys have a great night.
You too. We'll keep it rolling here. We will go to, let's see, 410. 410, you are up next. Please go ahead and state your name and where you're calling from.
Reverend Keith in Baltimore. How are you, Zach and Tom?
Good, Keith. Great to talk to you as always. What are your thoughts on Raw tonight?
Okay. First, I want to say that I really enjoyed the booking on tonight's show, especially of the Hurt Business. Anyone who has heard me speak over the past couple months have heard me mention that I felt that Lashley would be heated up right after Elimination Chamber, and he would rise to the occasion to the number one contendership. That has happened. Now, here are my thoughts on the impending title match for next Monday's Raw. You notice that Drew McIntyre was absent from on air tonight. He was not seen at all. They barely made mention of him, and it was only in reference to him losing due to Lashley's beatdown and The Miz's cash-in, okay? There was barely any mention made of him. Now, here's how I see next Monday night's main event going down. Lashley versus Miz will not end with Lashley becoming a new champion. Drew will insert himself. He will come out. He will try to get his receipt on both of those guys. Okay? This will lead to your main event or the Raw main event at Fastlane. It will be a triple threat with Miz versus Lashley versus Drew. That's how I see this going down. And in this way, you build towards the match. Where Sheamus lies in all this, who knows? But I can see Drew inserting himself in that match because that way he has an opportunity to get revenge on both the guys that destroyed him at Elimination Chamber. And then Miz will not just be a one-week champion. Okay? That's how I see that going down. That's all I have for tonight. What are your thoughts on that? Thanks for taking my call, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Keith. That's appreciate the call, as always. Tom, I mean, that works. I mean, that works. I mean, that gets you from point A to point B. It gets you, you know, the positives. The plus side of that is, you know, you get Miz a little more credibility with the title. He can hold it for a few weeks as opposed to a few days. I think that scenario would also protect, you know, what you were talking about at the start of the show, which is, hey, you know, Lashley's a babyface. If he goes out there and destroys the Miz, like, I mean, that's straight babyface material right there. So this would protect against that because you've got, you know, Drew kind of ruining the party. He, you know, takes out Lashley, takes out Miz, and then now he's, you know, the one-on-two babyface versus two heels in a triple threat match at Fastlane. So I think it checks that box. The only, I mean, I think what Keith laid out is a viable possibility to be sure. I don't know that it fully capitalizes on the momentum that Lashley built tonight. You know, I think that would be the one kind of, you know, negative of that angle going down that way and having that triple threat at Fastlane is this, you just don't kind of put the rocket right on Lashley's back. And after tonight, you know, gosh, it's hard to argue against doing that.
Yeah. Keith is always coming in with these strokes of brilliance. You know, I agree that it accentuates a lot of the positives that I was looking at as not being, not existing in the same timeline, as it were, where I was looking at McIntyre probably inserting himself next week, but probably after the decision to confront the victor, inserting himself in a way that leads to a triple threat at Fastlane also leaves us with the scenario I was talking about with Miz just letting the big guys ram into one another and just sneaking in to try to steal pinfalls. And he gets to go into the first ever Peacock special event. And with, you know, being the WWE's ambassador to the mainstream with that logo over his shoulder for whatever that may be worth. So that preserves that. Although I do agree that this, if we're looking at this as, you know, right now, I think the graphic tonight said 47 days away from WrestleMania, where if we are putting the strap on Bobby Lashley, which everybody seems to agree, and I agree, is the move here. It's unfortunate to, yeah, not capitalize on this very effective. And I mean, they've been giving Bobby Lashley wins, strong wins for so long. It's kind of almost under the radar been one of the strongest pushes, like real pushes that a wrestler has gotten in a long, long time on main roster television. Just purely on winning his damn matches. And it would feel unfortunate to trim that resulting title run as short as we're looking to trim it if he has to win it at Fastlane and lose it at WrestleMania.
Yeah. Yep. That's kind of how I see it. But I mean, yeah, it's kind of like, all right, pick your poison, WWE. You kind of played the Miz card, and now you gotta kind of get around that somehow. And so it's like, all right, you either kind of, you know, weaken Lashley a little bit and, you know, in favor of going with the Miz, or, you know, you stop that Miz reign short and, you know, put you know, put your full oomph and emphasis behind Bobby Lashley. So yeah, good stuff there, Keith. Let's go to 443. 443, you're up next, and go ahead and state your name and where you're calling from tonight.
Hey, it's Kyle from Baltimore. How are you doing?
Good, Kyle. Thanks for calling. What did you think of Raw?
I honestly didn't really like this Raw. This Raw was kind of very boring to me. And what really struck me is that how Raw SmackDown is, not only tonight, but the last few months to me. It's like it's been, and I think it's even worse. It's even worse tonight because you have, you know, I hear before and here on this call before about Sasha Banks, how people don't like Sasha's character, how she should be all like, you know, stuff like that. But she's the same with Asuka. Asuka as champion has been, and the WWE championship right now was on McIntyre. Found him as a boring champion in terms of a character. I don't care for him as champion, but now you have Miz, who's been booked as a joke for the last few months. Now he's the champion. All of a sudden, it's like, then you have Sasha Banks and Roman Reigns, who've been champion since October. Roman since John have really booked well, and their challengers have been great as well. So and then you look on Raw, it's not, you have Asuka as women's champion by default. I mentioned this a lot of times. If you know, I feel like that is, at this point, when Rhea Ripley comes up to Raw at some point, that would be like great. She could take title from Asuka and move on, have a great big strong women's character who will as a top star in the women's division. That's definitely needed. And so.
Yeah, hey Kyle, you're breaking up a little bit, but we got enough. Hey Kyle, you're breaking up a little bit for us, so let us take that point while you try to get to some good sell spots, and I'll bring you back in 2 seconds. But I want to take that first point regarding the women's division. We got tonight some pretty cool vignettes. I think it aired two, maybe even three times for Rhea Ripley. That is long overdue, I think, for Raw. I mean, I think they really, to Kyle's point, are in need of some depth at the top of the roster on the women's side of things. You've got Asuka over there. You've got Charlotte over there. So I think Rhea Ripley coming in is good for the brand. I think it freshens some things up and provides, you know, a good opportunity for a big-time match at WrestleMania. On the flip side of that, I thought Charlotte tonight had a good night opposite Ric Flair. So I liked that promo. I think, you know, you really got to, she looked more real there to me and sounded like a real person than she has in a very, very long time. So I just liked that authenticity there. It sounded like she was speaking from the heart. And yeah, I know, you know, the purpose of that promo was to kind of just rewrite the ship a little bit now that Lacey Evans is out because she's going to be having a baby. But I still think the end game was, hey, position Charlotte a little bit differently, have her kind of say her piece to Ric Flair. I think she did that. And I liked how she came off as genuine. To me, this is as simple as, hey, let's go Charlotte versus Asuka again, get that belt on Charlotte, and go Charlotte versus Rhea Ripley one more time at WrestleMania. So, Tom, talk about Rhea Ripley vignettes, her spot on Raw once she comes in, and Charlotte tonight as well.
Yeah, Rhea is, and I say this, you know, just like all of us have, we've watched all of the, you know, call-ups from what feels like a bygone version of NXT. We've seen how they've all panned out or how they haven't, and what our disappointments are. So I say this understanding all of that and knowing, you know, what we're all thinking regarding that. But all that considered, Rhea Ripley feels like she is, like I said, Shayna Baszler was can't miss, and they've missed, and she's merged into the speed of traffic. But when I say can't miss with Rhea Ripley, I really feel like the stress on the word can't is important because she feels like she's positioned to be one of the biggest successes of the Performance Center system, because unlike Shayna, who has unique things that she can bring to what she portrays, and unfortunately they've missed on that. Rhea, and I guess this sort of sounds like a backhand, but I don't mean it that way. Rhea and what she brings fits right into the way WWE likes to present people anyway. I think that she is like cut from a mold, you know, one of those like JBL talking about Orton, you know, if you were to build a wrestler from the ground up, they'd look like that. You know, this Rhea Ripley is a performance center creation, and they have molded her with the advantage of this is also what she's portraying and what she's bringing is also a genuine extension of who she is anyway. It's just a natural fit. So I think that we can expect big things for years to come from Rhea Ripley. And that's a pretty easy bet. And yeah, you could right away put her in the WrestleMania scene. I think there's enough time to do that. You know, if you just give her wins, which I expect they'll probably do for the most part. Yeah. But I also wouldn't be surprised if we continue seeing these and she's a Raw after Mania appearance. But Raw definitely needs the depth. This is definitely where she belongs. I even was thinking when Taya Valkyrie signed, like, why is she signing to the Performance Center? Right? They need her on Raw. Taya Valkyrie should go to Raw. So yeah, this is definitely the right place for Rhea. With Charlotte, there's more to dig into. I think what I would say is yes, absolutely. One of her better performances, one of her better acting performances, easily. It has the disadvantage, however, that they've done this like four or five times with her and her father. Yeah. So it feels very been there, done that. And it's also tied to a very tawdry angle that, yeah, they have to correct course on. But it's like if this was the first time they were ever doing it, great. That would have been better, but it's still tied to this Lacey Evans thing. And I say that as someone who, while not a huge fan of the angle, I do still kind of look forward to Lacey eventually, you know, like forcing Charlotte to call her mommy or something like that. But still, it had Charlotte's great performance aside, it had a lot of things dragging it down.
Yeah. Yep. No, fair enough. Yep. So Kyle, did we convince you that it was a good night for Raw? And yeah, I mean, look, I think, you know, your premise of, hey, the SmackDown champions, both Reigns and both, you know, Sasha Banks are in a better position than the Raw champions collectively. I'd probably agree with you on that. I think there is some intrigue now around the WWE championship. And I think Raw had a bad run of shows for its women's division. But, you know, with the tease of Rhea Ripley, with Charlotte kind of having a good night, you know, maybe it's turning in the right direction. We'll have to see. You know, just like anything else in wrestling, it's all in the follow up. But I would classify tonight as like a, you know, a positive step in the right direction. But Kyle, back to you for any final comments.
Yeah, it's just, and then with the WWE championship situation, that's been not all that great. I know a lot of people like Drew McIntyre. I personally don't. I never found him as a WWE champion at all. And now with Miz champion again, for some reason, I think it's just the fact that too, you know, that the WWE championship has been changing hands throughout the last few months. You have, and they have, again, you have Roman Reigns who's been the champion since August, hasn't lost a match since he came back. So it is very telling that they really care about SmackDown more than Raw because of, they don't care about Drew McIntyre's WWE champion, because if they did, they would have had him be champion for the same length as Roman Reigns. So that's just how I view it. And so I know a lot of people like Drew McIntyre, but WWE clearly doesn't, because again, if they did, they would treat him the same. They'll treat him equally to Roman Reigns. And I guess that's just how it. And I think that's it for me. Thanks for a call.
Thanks for making it, Kyle. As always, great to talk to you, and you know, all fair points. We'll go to, let's see here, a Skype call, I believe. Skype, if you hear the beep, this is you.
Hey guys, it's Valentin from Russia.
Valentin, thanks very much for calling. Great to talk to you, my friend. What did you think of Raw tonight?
Yeah, I think, like you said, it was a great night for Lashley, and I'm really happy for him. I guess that's the best thing they can do now for WrestleMania, to put Drew versus Lashley. I feel like Lashley would be a heel in this match, but overall, I'm a big fan of their act, so I'm happy for him. I think Sheamus still looks like an idiot because he turned on Drew right before Elimination Chamber when there were five different contenders. And now, if they're going to have their match at Fastlane, Drew is no longer a champion. So I don't know how to feel about Sheamus now. He picked the worst spot to turn on Drew, and now I don't think he's going to be in the title picture.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, from a storyline perspective, yeah. I mean, I think I think something happened that kind of veered that story into a different direction. And I don't know, like, I'm not saying that because I'm holding any news or breaking any news here. It's just kind of my gut that was so far out of left field, the turn when it happened, that it just feels like, okay, they were just choosing a different direction because they had to. Now, that being said, I think it's a good point. I think you could still get, you know, a lot out of this program with between the two of them. And again, I think if you do some kind of number one contenders match at Fastlane, that addresses it in the short term. You could have them go their separate ways at WrestleMania, and then they can meet up afterwards, you know, and because, you know, I think it's important, you know, if Drew McIntyre is going to win the title again at WrestleMania, you know, you want to have a solid opponent on the back end that he can jump into a feud with. And you've got that, you know, the backstory in place for Sheamus already. So I think that's an avenue they can go down. But, you know, yeah, they kind of took the possibility, Tom, of Sheamus versus Drew off the table, kind of, you know, unless they go to some kind of multi-man match at WrestleMania. It doesn't appear that's in the cards right now for Sheamus.
Yeah, and hopefully that is not where we're going for WrestleMania. I don't suspect that it is. It does seem like whatever in the world is going on with Keith Lee affected the Drew Sheamus build, and they just decided to throw the heel turn out there at some illogical point just to get it out of the way. And I do think there's a lot more juice that can be squeezed from this, even if you stretch it. Even if Drew Sheamus is not the match at Mania, you can stretch it beyond Mania, I think. And maybe ideally, and there's just a little thinking on my feet, but this is also like sort of the theme of all of this, is there are so many pieces in play. There are part of what made tonight's show so intriguing going into it was thinking that there are so many logical ways that it could go, the most logical, but then a bunch of other options as well. If we do this triple threat idea that Keith was suggesting with Miz, Drew, and Lashley, that doesn't factor in Sheamus. So let's just keep Sheamus warm. And then one thing, you know, of course, we're always wondering who's going to show up at Raw after Mania, even though that's something that's cooled down a little bit lately. And I'm not even just referencing pandemic times with that. But one thing I'm always wondering about for Raw after Mania is who's going to step up to the champ. And I think of stuff like, you know, for whatever reason, this is one of the main ones that comes to mind, is John Cena after the second match with The Rock, and Ryback attacked him at the end of the Raw the next day, and that was Ryback's heel turn. So it's like, who's the big monster that's going to step up to the new babyface champ? And Sheamus could fit that bill perfectly. Get a nice brogue kick to finish the night on Raw after Mania.
Yeah. Yep. Well said. As you were going through that, I was like, I wonder if Tom's going to say the Ryback turn, because that, like, when you were going down that road, that's what was sticking out in my head too.
So I'm glad I'm not the only one. For whatever reason, that one is the most memorable.
Yeah. Yep. Valentin, back to you. Any other comments on that, or a different question, or a different topic altogether? Go ahead.
You know what's interesting? I just thought about it. It's probably going to be a first time in a long time when Raw title match at WrestleMania won't have any part-timers, because Brock Lesnar was almost every year in the title match for Raw. You know, they had SmackDown title matches, like they had Kofi and Daniel Bryan. They had Styles Nakamura at WrestleMania. But usually Raw title matches always involve someone from the outside. I think it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's important. I think it's, you know, you got your part-time thing going on in SmackDown with Edge, and I don't know that you want to water that down. I mean, yes, if you can get Brock Lesnar, sure, you probably would, but you know, you want it to kind of be the Edge show, you know, because that's a big story, and you know, this gives some new faces an opportunity at the top spot on one of the nights. I would imagine. So I think it's good for the show, and I think it's good for, you know, the star power on that show to be in that spot. Sometimes you gotta be in the spot to like play the part. And you know, so many times you see like, hey, there's no star power here. They need more stars. And you know, then when it comes time to showcase one, they're not in those positions. Well, you know, I think you're gonna see it play out the other way here, and it's gonna be, hey, we'll see what Lashley and Drew McIntyre can do. You know, we'll see what they can do on the big stage. So I think that's a positive. Back to you, Valentin.
Yeah, that's it. Thank you as always for taking my call.
I appreciate it. Great to talk to you. Thank you. Yeah, Tom, your thoughts on that part? I should have thrown you earlier. I mean, how does Bobby Lashley versus Drew McIntyre, if that's where they're going here, or you know, just the notion of new faces in that main event picture for WrestleMania. I mean, a positive, I'm assuming, or is there a different argument to be heard that, hey, no, we need the biggest stars possible, and Bobby Lashley just isn't it?
Yeah, either way, I look at it, I'm not taking Lashley out of it. It's either Lashley Drew or it's Lashley versus an outsider. And earlier when I was saying, oh, no, nobody comes to mind off the top of my head, that's partially true and partially just because I don't want to say Lesnar, because they're already doing the Edge thing with Roman, and it does feel like on the Raw side that Valentin is correct. They're just trying to work with the guys that are there week to week, which of course builds up the roster. We're getting Bobby Lashley in this position that which would have been unheard of last calendar year. So it's definitely a positive. There's also the element of like as appealing as the long-awaited Lashley versus Lesnar match has been. You don't want to take something like that and just hotshot it for a Mania, I don't think. Just so you can get Lesnar's face on the poster. And if it is a hotshot, then I'm also presuming that Lesnar is doing the favors, which also feels a little weird if you're bringing Lesnar back. That's just not the Lesnar recipe that they've been working with for the better part of a decade now.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. I don't know. I don't get that sense. You know, I mean, it could happen, right? I mean,
right.
It certainly could happen. I'm not ruling it out, but that's not the feeling that I get at this point, but hey, they can change. There's a lot of time. So never say never. All right, let's hop over to 267. 267. Go ahead and state your name and where you're calling from.
Hello, my name is PJ.
PJ,
and
good to talk to you. What did you think of Raw tonight, man?
I personally liked Raw as a whole. I just do not like Lashley in the title series right now. I personally feel it's too soon for him in the title hunt, and I would not be surprised if Sheamus or, as we've seen on Raw tonight and last week before the Elimination Chamber, maybe Strowman somehow worms himself way in. Maybe a triple threat at the Fastlane pay-per-view with Sheamus, Miz, Lashley, or